Okay, good evening. We advertised that tonight's shiur would be about Bedikas Chametz, but last week after the shiur, we asked some of the participants what they wanted to talk about. And some of the people said that they'd rather talk about Halal in shul on the Seder night. So we're going to be talking about that. If you want to hear about Bedikas Chametz, so I advise that you come to shul, I guess, Friday night, when we'll talk about Bedikas Chametz, etc. So that is point one. Point two is I would just like to dedicate tonight's shiur in memory of my uncle passed away this week. His name was Nachum Ziv. He was my father's sister's husband. They moved to Israel in 48, right after Kom Hamdina. My uncle was one of those people who was involved in smuggling various parts of aircraft to Israel before the war. During the war, etc. They lived in Israel. They were both from Montreal, my uncle, my aunt. They lived in Israel all the years. My uncle eventually became the director general of the Bank of Israel. So he was involved, a very fine fellow, very respectful of me and religious tradition. I never saw him without a kippah. He was not a religious man, but whenever I came over, he always put on the kippah in my honor. When I would be in Israel the last couple of years, he would always ask when I'd have a day off, and he would find some museum that had an exhibit related to religious culture, and he would take me. He was a fascinating man, and I'd just like to dedicate tonight's shiur in his memory. So we're talking about Hallel and Shul Seder night. This is one of the controversial topics in Jewish life, no? We know that we say Hallel at the Seder. In fact, we say Hallel at the Seder at two parts, right? We say the first two chapters of Hallel at the end of Magid, right? Right before the Bracha of Asher Ga'alanu. And then at the very end of the Seder, where most of us are all the way nearly asleep or three quarters asleep, etc. And like we kind of have to daven it up. So then we finish the and we say the end of Hallel in Shul. We say the end of the Hallel at the Seder. And the Hallel that we say at the Seder does not have a bracha. There's no bracha that's just said on Hallel at the Seder. At least there's no bracha at the beginning. The Hallel, after the Hallel that we say at the Seder, we recite the bracha of Yehallelucha, right, or Yishtabach. There are different traditions, but we finish off basically a bracha on Hallel. The Gemara in Psachim speaks about that there's a concept called Birchas Hashir, that there's a special bracha that's recited on the song, presumably on Hallel, and that we say at the end. But we don't recite a bracha at Hallel, on Hallel at the beginning of the Seder. That's well known. It's also well known that in certain communities they recite Hallel in Shul Seder night. Now, I remember as a kid, this was a very controversial practice. The Shul used to say Hallel, but more than half of the people would walk out of the Shul. And that was just the way it was.
At what point is it a service?
So they would say Hallel after Aleinu. In the Shul growing up, technically speaking, you say Hallel in Shul Seder night. You should say before Aleinu as part of the service. But in the Shul growing up, Rabbi Wurzberger, Zichron Lefracha, they used to recite the Hallel after the service. I remember lots of people walking down, and it was always like a big issue. Like, is it the proper practice to recite Hallel or not? And people got very uncomfortable about it. When I first came to Mount Sinai, so Rabbi Hilwitz, Zichron Lavracha, had a book of Minhagim that he put together with Yoni Rei. We have this book of Minhagim. So in the book of Minhagim that Rabbi Hilwitz put together, he wrote that when Rabbi Muskin was the rabbi of Mount Sinai Jewish Center, Rabbi Elazar Muskin from, you know, the left coast over there, so they would recite Hallel Seder night. At some point in Rabbi Schneidman's tenure as the rabbi here, they stopped reciting Hallel in the Shul Seder night. When I became the rabbi, so they asked me, is there anything I'd like to do different? I said, I'd like to say Hallel in Shul Seder night. Why am I so into saying Hallel in Shul Seder night? Because Rav Soloveitchik, felt that as the rabbi of a shul, if you have an opportunity to get them to say Hallel, and they're not saying Hallel, and, big and, it won't cause World War 69, so then you should try to institute the recitation of Hallel in shul Seder night. So I asked around. Rabbi Schneiderman was not in shul that first year, Yontiv. I asked Rabbi Hillowitz. Rabbi Hillowitz said, Kol HaKavod, he'd love to say Hallel. I spoke to Rabbi Schneiderman about it as well. So we started saying Hallel. Well, there was one member of the shul who then and still is upset by the practice. Again, we don't have that many members of the shul who are here for Pesach. But the fact is, at this point, we say Hallel in the shul Seder night. What I'd like to do with you tonight is just trace the practice, where it comes from in Talmudic literature, what the reasons for it are, and as well, we'll discuss what are the reasons not to say it, and obviously the final conclusion will be that you should follow your own practice, but we'll have to have another conversation. Let's say your practice is not in line with the practice of the shul where you daven. What should you do then? We'll have that conversation as well. So you ready? I didn't say anything. How can you have any questions? Yeah.
I always thought that it was to say how on Heterlenio on Pesach night was the only a Hasidic custom.
So it's not. What we'll see now is it is not only a Hasidic custom. It is a custom that is certainly found in Sephardic communities. It was found in many of communities that are colloquially called Ashkenaz communities. We'll have to discuss what that means, etc. Zot the Mesechah Sofrim. Mesechah Sofrim is a work that is one of the Mesechtos Ketanos. We have the large Mesechtos in Shas, Brachos, Shabbos, Erevin, etc. Then like the small Mesechtos, Mesechas Sofrim, Mesechas Kala, Mesechas Derech Eretz, etc., Mesechas Smachos. We have a few of these small Mesechtos. In Mesechas Sofrim, Mesechas Sofrim is somewhat complicated as to when exactly it was written, but it's assumed to come from traditions of Eretz Yisrael, which is something that we'll talk about as we move on. So Mesechas Sofrim says as follows. We're talking about Hallel. V'tzarech levarek b'tchilaso, you have to make a brach at the beginning of reciting Hallel, ulekroso b'ni'ima, and you have to say Hallel nicely. B'ni'ima, with a certain softness, a certain niceness. D'tanya, Reb Shimon ben Yehotzadak Omer, yamim shmona asar v'layla echad, for 18 days and one night, yachid gomer bahen es a Hallel. An individual can completes Hallel 18 days and one night of the year. 18 days and one night. Now, how do we get 18 days? Elohein. Ready? Let's see if we can count to 18. This is tough. Shmona Yimei Chanukah. 8 days of Chanukah. That makes 8. Shmona Yimei HaChag. 8 days of Sukkot. That makes 16. Yontav Shal Atzeres. Shavuos makes 17. V'yomtov HaRishon Shal Pesach V'Lelo. And the first day of Pesach and the night. Remember, the last day of Pesach, we don't say Hallel, no? We say half Hallel. Half Hallel is not Hallel. Half Hallel is a practice, that is a custom, it's a minhag, right? In fact, in many traditions, including my own, I don't make a bracha on Hallel on Rosh Chodesh. I don't make a bracha on Hallel the last days of Yontif. It's a big machloikas between Tosis and the Rambam, whether you make a bracha on Minhagim at all. My family comes from some weird sort of Lubavitch stock. What can I do? It's unfortunate. How they allowed my sister to marry David Berger's son is still one of the world's great mysteries. But the fact is, the fact is that Hallel, that is a minhag, right, like the end of Pesach, again, either because of the reason that the Yontif of Pesach is one Yontif throughout, There's no different carbon each day of Pesach, or because of the Medrash's reason of Maisa Yadai Tovim Bayam. You know, that's the reason that they teach you in grade school, that like the Egyptians are drowning Kriyas Yamsov. How can you say Halal? But whatever the reason, we don't really say Halal at the end of Pesach. So there's only one day, again, in Eretz Yisrael, when they don't have 2 days of Yontif, there's only one day when they say Halal on Pesach, but Lelo, one day and a night. What's that night? That night is Seder night when we say Halal. That's what the Maseches Sofrim says. And then it says, and the Gola, right, outside of Eretz Yisrael, you say Halal for 21 days and 2 nights. It's a preferable practice, right? It's funny. First it says that we say it with a bracha. Then it says it's mitzvah min amufrar, that we say Hallel, the 2 nights of Pesach at night, and we say it nicely because of uniromima shemo yachtov. But then when I say Hallel at home, I don't make a bracha, Shekvar Beirach Berabim, because I already made the bracha in Shul. Meaning to say, according to the Maseches Sofrim, we see a few interesting points. Point one is that the Halal that's said in Shul is a nice, sweet Halal, as opposed to the Halal that we say at home at the Seder, which is, right? Like we go kind of fast. And those of you who have been with me for a Seder know that I try to go very slowly during Halal at the end, and my kids are like, poking me with forks and saying, like, we're tired, we gotta move. That's sort of the tradition. The Halal at the Seder, maybe we'll talk about it towards the end, it's like, should be the highlight of the year. It really, we miss out if we have a Seder that is all about, you know, V'hisha Amda, the Shisha Sejai Mishnah, the Chamisha Chumshei Torah, and we don't enjoy the saying of the Halal. We're just missing out. But the fact is, says the Maseches Sofrim, 2 points. Point one, the Halal is b'ni'ima. It's a sweet, nice Halal. Point two, right? He also says that the Halal is b'rabim, is in public. And as well, the reason we don't make a bracha on Halal at the Seder is because we made the bracha in Shul. Now, that means that when you say Halal in Shul, have in mind for the Seder later on. How come there's no bracha at the Seder? We made the bracha in Shul. Yeah.
The people who do not say Halal.
So the people don't say Halal in Shul. How come they don't make a bracha at the Seder? Yeah. So this is a big discussion in Rishonim. And there are different reasons I give by the Rishonim that we'll talk about later on. One reason is because we're mafsik in the middle of the Halal. Many Rishonim had the text on the bracha of Halal, unlike what we say of Asher Kishon Mitzvah Sobat Yivano Lekroas Halal, many show about the text Ligmaris HaHalal, to complete Halal. And therefore, at the Seder, I first say the first 2 chapters, I'm not going to be gomer the Halal right away, so I can't make the bracha. Right? That's one version. Another version, which is made famous by Reb Volvo Soloveitchik and others, is that the Halal that we say at the Seder, says Reb Volvo, quoting the Ran, quoting Reb Haigon, is Halal B'Shas Hanes. I have to view myself like I am right now leaving Mitzrayim. No? This is Shas Hanes. I feel it. I feel like I just left Egypt. And as such, the halal at the Seder is spontaneous. It's halal of Shira, says Reb Haigon. Shira means you're so happy you just start to sing. You know those annoying people like yodeling from the top of roofs? That's what you are at the Seder. Right? You are spontaneously singing, exulting in the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim. Now, one of the things about being spontaneous is you can't make a bracha if you're spontaneous, no? A bracha requires a certain preparation, cognizance. I'm about to do a mitzvah, therefore I'm going to make a bracha, hini muchan mezuman, or the proper kavanas, whatever it is. But if it's shas hanes, if I feel like I left Mitzrayim now, and that's why I'm reciting Hallel, because right now it happened, how can I make a bracha? Right? I'm just walking through the Yam Suf over there. That's how I feel. No? That's how I feel. Rabbi Wurzberger once pointed out to me, That, you know, in his first couple of years as a rabbi, he was a rabbi in the small shul in Boston, and he wasn't yet married. So he went to the Rav's house for the Seder. He went to Rav Salvechik's house. So Rabbi Wurzburger was very close to the Rav, and he said even if he'd forget all the way, if even forget every drop of Torah that he heard from the Rav, and he was probably the Rav's closest student in philosophy, that's what Rabbi Wurzburger was, but he says even if I'd forget every drop of Torah I heard from the Rav, the image of Rav Salvechik saying Halal the Seder, he could never forget. That feeling, like you leave Mitzrayim now, that feeling of spontaneous rejoicing, like I'm so happy, like you have to get into that moment. Says Rav Haigon, says the Ran, how can you make a bracha on that? It's Shira, it's spontaneous, it just pours out. So again, different reasons we show why we don't make a bracha. The general tradition from the Maseches Sofrim is you don't make a bracha because you made the bracha in Shul. But the other version, not making a bracha, is because either technical reasons, you're not saying the whole halal in one shot, or this more exciting reason of the Shira of the Shas Hanes. Yeah.
Sorry, I just wonder if they couldn't have put it earlier in the Seder somehow, just knowing that like it was a longer Seder and people get tired.
Okay, so the.
I'm saying if it's such like a crucial part of the Seder,
right.
Just
practice. So the answer I think is. And some people say that that's precisely why the Halal is divided. The first two chapters of Halal are about leaving Mitzrayim,
yeah.
Right? Yeah. We speak about Halalu Avdei Hashem, which Chazal say means that we are now the slaves of Hashem as opposed to the slaves of Paro. And then the next paragraph is B'tzeis Yisrael Mitzrayim. Those first two paragraphs we say, not at the beginning of the Seder per se, but we say it right, you know, you have to go through slavery to appreciate the freedom. So right when we attain freedom and we're about to drink that second cup of wine, that's when we start to sing Halal. That's not the beginning, but again, the Seder shouldn't take that long. One of the unfortunate things about our education is that we focus so much on all the Divrei Torah, we destroy the Seder, which should just be a flow, and you say it, and you translate, and you go. Right? That's really what it should be, but okay. Now, I don't know if I answered your question.
Yeah, no, you're
so now, let's just talk very quickly. So Maseches Sofrim says that we say the Hallel in Shul. This comes from a Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi comments that there are certain brachos in Judaism that begin with the word Baruch. And there are other brachas that don't begin with the word Baruch. There are certain brachas that are called the long bracha, other brachas are called the short bracha. And the Yerushalmi says that the only time a bracha doesn't begin with Baruch is when it's a bracha smuch l'chaverita, when it's connected to a previous bracha. Right? The Bavli has this in brachas, Yerushalmi has this, everyone has this. Now, comes along the Yerushalmi, all the brachas begin with Baruch, but if it's bracha smuch l'chaverita, like Kriya Shema and Tefillah, it doesn't begin with Baruch. Hesiv Reb Yirmiyah, Hare Geula. Reb Yirmiyah asks a question. The bracha of, right, Geula, which is the bracha of Asher Ga'alanu, V'Galas Havaseinu Mitzrayim, that bracha that we say at the Seder. So he answers, Shan Yehi, Dema Reb Yochanan, Hale O Yisham Beis HaKnesses, Yatsa. In other words, the basic question, and the Rashba amplifies what this Yerushalmi means, this Rashba and Brachos, that Brachos that are not connected to any other Bracha should begin with Baruch. That's the rule. But a Bracha that is connected to another Bracha doesn't begin with Baruch. And Rabbi Yirmiyah asks, Asher Ga'alanu, that we say after Hallel on Pesach, but you already made a bracha beforehand. And if you already made a bracha beforehand, how come it begins with Baruch? That's the question that Yerushalmi asks. So the answer is, right? Mishum kach, three lines at the bottom of the Rashba. Hiksha Reb Yirmiyah, Masher Ga'alanu, she smuch al birchas ha-halal. And it still begins with Baruch. And the answer is because halo imsham beis ha-kneses yatza. Meaning that if you said Halal in Shul, you don't have to make another bracha at home. And as such, the bracha of Asher Ga'alanu is not really connected to a bracha at the beginning of Halal. Meaning to say, according to the Yerushalmi, you should make a bracha on challah at the Seder. Should make a bracha at the beginning of the Seder. The only reason we don't is because we made the bracha in shul. But because the bracha was made in shul a long time ago, that bracha of Asher Galon was not really connected to it. Therefore, Asher Galon begins with a bracha. That's what the Yerushalmi says. But what I see from this Yerushalmi is, again, that there's a bracha that's made on halal in shul Seder night. The Tur is Ashkenazi or Sephardi, by the way?
Ashkenazi.
Ashkenazi.
But he's an exiled Ashkenazi.
He's an exiled Ashkenazi because
his father's the Rush.
His father is the Rush, coming from Germany, who moves to Spain. No? The Rush moves from Germany to Spain. When the Rush first moved to Spain, by the way, he spent 2 weeks cloistered up with the Rashba in the room, discussing like all the Torah that they had in there. That must be like the most amazing 2 weeks. If you want to be a fly on the wall at some point in Jewish history, like there's a few confrontations that you want to be at. Like, I don't know, like when the Alter Rebbe wanted to meet the Gra. You want to be there. You want to be there when that one happened. You want to be there when the Rush and the Rashba converse. But basically, the Tur has a machlokas, whether you make two brachas, do you make a bracha on halal Seder night or not? And the Tur then says, from the Yerushalmi, that you don't make a bracha on halal Seder night at home, because you already made the bracha in Shol. And the Tur writes, V'yesh mekomos, 5 lines to the bottom of this Tur, some places make the bracha in shul, so you don't have to make the bracha during the Haggadah. What a beautiful minhag. Meaning, the Tur, who's an Ashkenazi, says that the minhag of saying Hallel in shul is a beautiful minhag. And the real reason for this minhag is, in order to avoid questions, do you make a bracha on Halat the Seder or not? So make bracha in Shol, and that bracha will carry over to the Halat the Seder. That's the basic idea that the Tur has. Now, the Me'iri is a Rishon from Provence. He also quotes this Yerushalmi about making a bracha on Halal. Provence is southern France, right? He also quotes that the practice that they make a bracha on Halal in Shol. But he has a slightly different take on the situation. For the Me'iri, the reason why you make the bracha, right, he quotes the same Yerushalmi, turn over the page, I even underlined it. V'hu shahaya min hagam likros ha-halel b'veis ha-knesses mi ba'od yom zecher la-halel sheba'azara shahayu omrim b'shash chitas p'sachim. Right, when they would shech the carbon Pesach, p'sachim daf tzadi hey, they would say halel. There's a special yontif. We call the whole yontif Pesach, no? But really, Pesach is the 14th of Nisan, when they shechted the carbon, and they would say a halal when they did that mitzvah shechitas psachim. No, the famous story is that when Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld left Rav Kook, so he commented to Rav Kook. He said, "Next year, I want you to be up to your knees in blood." So the people like thought that Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld and Rav Kook are like having like a terrible fight or something, which, again, they actually got along very nicely, but their students like did not get along. It turned out the up to your knees in blood is a Mishnah Psachim. Rav Kook was a Kohen, and the Kohanim right, would have the blood in the Beis HaMikdash from all the Karbonis. There's so many of them that they'd be like up to their knees in blood. So that was the bracha that he gave him. That was the bracha. I guess it sounds better in Yiddish. But the fact is, the fact is that there was a special halal that was recited b'shash chitas p'sachim. Says the Me'iri, the halal that we say in shul is to reconstruct that halal. Now, yeah, question.
Isn't shul maritime?
Oh, so if that's the case, so the halal really should be said in the afternoon, not at night. Or you should dafka daven before nightfall, Seder night, and then say halal. And some people point that out, that this practicing halal after Ma'ariv doesn't really resemble what the Me'iri is saying, but It could be, it's just like a rough reconstruction. It's not exactly at the same time, but it's connected in a conceptual sort of way. It's to reconnect to that type of idea. Fine, yeah. Right, so usually, I can't make a bracha now and have that bracha go for many, many, many hours later. But I can make a bracha first thing in the morning, let's say, and then learn Torah. And that bracha will keep me going all day. Correct?
I guess
so. For example, I can't make a bracha on the Bori Pri Ha'etz now and then eat my apple 3 hours later.
Right?
That's not going to work. But I can make a bracha bori pri ha'etz and continue to eat my apple for 3 hours.
Right. So
and Tosfos points out in brachos that birchas haTorah, I make the bracha in the morning, and then in theory, I should be thinking about Torah all day. Either because I'm obligated to learn Torah, or because every Jewish person knows that whenever an issue of Torah comes up, they will automatically focus on that issue of Torah. So therefore, it's like we are engaged in Torah all day. My understanding is that Leil HaSeder is not a hefsek because of the type of idea that we were saying beforehand. You're asking, is it an interruption? I'll tell you, no, it's not really an interruption. Because the entire Seder, in some ways, is getting back to that hallel that I said in Shul. Meaning, after Ma'ariv, I say a hallel. We'll talk about what that hallel is about. And then I go home, and I have a Seder. What's the goal of that Seder? The goal of that Seder is that I have hallel on the back of my mind the whole time. I want to get back to that hallel. I said hallel in Shul, and that was preparing me for the real hallel, so to speak, that I'm going to say later on. No? But I'm never Mesiach Das. I'm never losing focus on the hallel. Now, you're asking a very good question. It could be 3.5 hours. Give me a long time until you get to the, you know, how does the bracha help? I think the answer is that you're not Mesiach Das, because you're focusing on it. It's similar to what Taisa says about Birchas HaTorah. Yeah.
I noticed you did not bring the Rambam here in any context.
Oh.
So, you know,
Rambam holds you don't make brachas on minhagim.
The question is this considered a minhag?
So this halal, according to the Masechta Sof and the Yerushalmi, is not a minhag. It's made ikar hadin. There are 18 days and one night a year that we're obligated to say halal, according to that Yerushalmi, if you have the text. If you have that text in Yerushalmi, it's a real chiyuv. Now, I did not quote the Rambam. The Rambam does not have halal leil haseder. Again, inshul. He doesn't have that halal at all. Correct. The Rambam doesn't have it. Why would the Rambam not have it? So the Rambam doesn't have it probably for the following reason. There are two ways of saying it. The Aruch HaShulchan has a line, which I give you like two sources from now, that the Yerushalmi says that they make halal, that you say halal and shal, but the Talmud Bavli doesn't say it. Generally speaking, if I have a dispute between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi, I'll follow the Bavli, although for the Rambam, that rule is less absolute than it is for other Rishonim. But where does the Bavli not say it? Well, the Bavli in Erechin, where the Bavli speaks about halal, says that we say halal 18 days and doesn't mention one night. That's the less fancy way of saying it, that the Bavli disagrees with the Yerushalmi. But Rabbi Willig has in his Sefer an interesting idea, which is worth thinking about. It goes like this. The Maseches Sofrim, that says that we say halal in Shul, the Seder, says that we say halal b'ni'ima. We say halal with a certain sweetness and niceness. That sounds very similar to Shira. Ni'ima and Shira, song, sweetness, are very similar terms. Point one. Point two. Reb Velvel Soloveitchik develops this idea based on that Rev Haigon that we mentioned a few minutes ago, that there's halal b'shas hanes, which is shira, and halal that is reconstructing a nes, or recollecting a nes that happened, I should say recollecting a nes that happened in the past, that halal is b'tores kriya. That's when I read the psukim of halal. I sing halal when I'm experiencing it, and I read the psukim when I'm remembering what happened in the past. Rav Velvel says that the halal of Shira is Hallel that does not get a bracha because it's spontaneous. That was what we spoke about before. The Rambam might hold that there's no such thing as Hallel of Shira at all. The Rambam writes that Hallel is always midrabbanan, it's always midivrei sofrim. The Ravid, this is in Hilchos Chanukah, the Ravid jumps up and down and spits wood and nickels and says, Rambam, what are you talking about? Right? Of course you have to make a... Of course Hallel is a real obligation. It's a different Kabbalah obligation, says the Ravid. It's on the Pasuk says, Hashir Yolachem Kaler Hizkadesh Chag. Meaning, if you read between the lines, the Ravid is saying, Rambam, Hallel is not rabbinic. Hallel is a Pasuk, but the Pasuk is Shir. The Rambam holds that there's no such thing as Hallel of Shira. If the Rambam holds there's no such thing as Hallel of Shira, so it could be that the Rambam is completely rejecting the Masechta Sofrim, who says that there is Hallel of Shira. The Rambam says no such thing. There's no Hallel of Shira. It doesn't exist. Then that's why the Ravid says, oh, Hallel is different Kabbalah. The Rambam says, no, it's not. It's Derabbanan. Why? Because according to the Rambam, right, there's no such thing as Hallel of Shira. That's like the razzle-dazzle way of answering your Rambam. Let's go on. Mechaber and Ramah disagree very quickly about whether you say Hallel and Shul, Seder night. Says the Mechaber, the first night of Pesach, you complete Hallel in Betzibur, in Shul, with the community. B'ne'ima, b'bracha, t'chila, v'sof. You say it nicely, sweetly, right? Second night also you say it. Ramah hagav because that ain't under no hagin came ki ain't under omrim balayla bebeis kinesis halal kol. We don't say halal and shul at all. Now in the Sharshim Minhag Ashkenaz world, you know this Rabbi Hamburger,
yes.
And so he has a whole essay about how the real practice in Ashkenaz is never to say halal, and anyone who wants to say halal is like going against all the traditions of our fathers, our grandfathers in Germany. And he goes through the different places of the world, and he says the practice was in Yemen they didn't say halal. The practice in Italy was that they did not recite halal. In Hungary, in the Oberland, they did not say Hallel. In the Unterland, when the Hasidic movement gained acceptance, they started saying Hallel. That was ruined because they're changing the practice. He basically argues that outside of Spanish communities, they don't say, they never said Hallel. It's not really true. The Torah said Hallel. The Gra, according to tradition, the Gra said Hallel Seder night. Now, in Lithuania, he maintains, Rabbi Hamburger, right, maintains that Lithuania, how does he write it? He writes, Lithuanian Jews remained loyal to the authentic tradition. They did not conduct a hallel reading in the synagogue, a practice they saw as a Sephardic custom. Different claims have been made to have the personal practice of the Vilna Gaon in this regard. What is known, however, is that his ancestors, including the leader Torah figures, never conducted a synagogue challah reading. Now, this is a little bit of a polemic, but the issue of saying challah or not became very tense. Became very tense. The Rambam says not to say challah, but what's the reason why the Rambam says not to say challah? So Aruch HaShulchan says because it's not found in Bavli. That means don't say it. It's against the din. The Gra, however, has a different take. Look at the Bir HaGra here. Ki lo niskan lebikiyim. Ki moshe kasa b'to sefta perak basur de psachim. B'nei ha'ir she'in lehem misha yekra es ha'halo. Hochen lebeis ha'kneses ve'korin perak rishon. V'hochen v'ochen v'shosin v'chosin v'boin v'gom res kulo. Zot the Tosefta. Tosefta is a Tanaitic source that wasn't incorporated into Mishnayos. The Tosefta says that those people who were ignorant and did not know how to say Hallel on their own would go to Shul to say Hallel. And they'd be Yotzer with the Shul too, because they don't know how to say it on their own, so they go to Shul. Says the Gra, apparently, the reason why Ashkenazim don't say Hallel is because we Ashkenazim are not ignorant. Pardon. Right? That's what the Goyin is saying. Right? The Goyin is saying, yeah, you Sfardim. Yeah. Okay, you have a tradition of ignorance. By us Ashkenazim, we have no tradition of ignorance. I'm reading a little bit into the Gra, but I don't think I'm...
Then you should have the whole Seder in Shul.
What?
Then you should have the whole Seder in Shul, because the Bistam, they can't be the Aleph, they can't be...
That's a very good point. That's a very good point. Apparently, I don't know, there's like... Yeah, so what's going on? So how can you not have the whole Seder? So maybe the Pshat is something along these lines. A little different than the Gra, but akin to what he's saying. It says in Shulchan Aruch that at the Seder you should try to have a mezumen, no? Why should I try to have a mezumen at the Seder? Not because you want to bench bezimun, but that one person should say, Hodul Hashem Ki Tov, and the two others, the assumption is that the women could not respond. Because no, the assumption is that they were ignorant. Frida, you can't change history. I don't know. But men could read Hebrew traditionally, the women couldn't. So the men would say, see, you're supposed to have a mezumen in order to respond to the halal. Apparently, in certain Ashkenazic traditions, there just wasn't enough people to have that in shul, at home. You don't have enough people to have that. So what they did is they went to shul to have a public recitation of halal. The idea of the halal in shul is more public rather than the private halal, because halal is supposed to be, I say it, you to respond. That's the idea. And they couldn't have that at home in many cases. What?
In Tiffany,
right? The call responds. That's the idea. Now, the Gra elsewhere says something along these lines. There is a practice that's very hard to understand called lighting Chanukah candles in shul. Traditionally, we don't make brachos on minhagim. Nowhere in Shas, nowhere in the Gemara to say that you should light Hanukkah candles in shul. How can we do it? And we do it with a bracha. And you can go to Breuer's on Sunday night of Hanukkah, and the chazan wears the big, right? And they move the candle. And it's very impressive, by the way. I try to take my kids. It's a very, very, right? There's certain things that just are, l'shem l'seferes. It's just beautiful. So, what's the heter to make a bracha, though?
Pursuminisa.
What does that mean? So that means, right, you can't just make a bracha, light a Chanukah candle. Again, my apologies to Lubavitch. I can't just light a Chanukah menorah in the middle of Times Square and make a bracha. Right? Pursuminisa itself doesn't work. So Zok the Gra, the Hallel, the Chanukah candles in Shul, that we make a bracha when we light them, says the Gra is Raya from Hallel on Leil Pesach, Sheniskan al Hakos, the Omrim Beis Haknesses Mishum Persume Nisa. We say Hallel in Shul because of Persume Nisa. Now, the Gra earlier said that only the ignorant Sfaradim say Hallel in Shul. Over here, the Gra is saying that we make a bracha on Chanukah candles in Shul, based on the bracha that is said on Hallel in Shul Leil Pesach. You get an impression that the Gra, that's like the differing traditions as to what the Gra did. Fine. The fact is, Rav Soloveitchik felt that the practice of saying Hallel in Shul is the preferred practice. That's why his students, again, in situations where it won't cause World War 69, like we said, so you try to institute the recitation of Hallel in Shul. I think the advantage of Hallel in Shul, as opposed to Hallel at the Seder, is precisely what we've been talking about. It's b'ni'ima. It's early enough at night, you can sing. And you can get into it. The Hallel at the end of the Seder, right, it's after like two cups of wine, it's after all the brisket, you're exhausted, and let's be honest, most of us don't stay up to say Shir HaShir to be the Safer B'nisim in the Flawless all night. Right? So, ultimately we rush through the challah end.
You have to
have to get through four cups at least. Right. And Chacham Avadia Yosef has an expression, one of his tshuvas, that we pass in bola matzah yatzah. If I swallow up matzah yatzah, but bola hagoda. If I swallow up the hagoda, I swallow up the halal, I'm not yotze. Right? You have to say it bini ima. The halal ensures bini ima. The halal ensure you have the person saying and the tzibur responding. And it said b'shira. It's a beautiful contribution for halal. Now, the idea of saying halal ensure is just, it adds, I think, a great deal to the Seder. It could also be, in like Brisker Lomdus, that Leo HaSeder is considered to be a separate yontiv than the rest. Right? There's the yontiv of Pesach, or the yontiv of Chag HaMatzos itself, but Leo HaSeder is like a new yontiv. This is the time that we're connecting Chadash Baruch Hu, we're taking out Mitzrayim. So there's a halal for the miracle, that's at the Seder. Then there's a halal on the yontiv of Leo HaSeder that we say in Shul. So it's all the same type of idea. The question as to what I do if I am in a place where they say halal and they don't say halal. So what should I do in that situation? So they quote in the newspaper, the Yated Neman, that Rav Velvel Soloveitchik should walk out. Now, this is a little bit... No. The Rav Velvel Soloveitchik, the Grizz, walked out of shul when he said halal. Now, Rav Chaim was very into saying the halal at... in Shul Seder night. His son, Reb Moshe Soloveitchik, the Rav's father, was very into it. Reb Velvel changed the family tradition and started walking out, in part because he was very nervous about Suffolk brachos. Now, the Chazon Ish had a practice that he would say halal in Shul Seder night, but not make a bracha, which in some ways is a little bit backwards when you think about it. Because according to many Rishonim, the only reason for halal in Shul Seder night is to say the bracha. So to say it on a bracha, say it without a bracha, sort of is missing the point. But okay, you get the idea of ni'ima and bakol, you get all those ideas, but you don't get the dimension of bracha involved. Rav Moshe Feinstein in the tshuva that I give you over here, Rav Moshe says that if you're in shul and they're saying halal, and you yourself don't say halal, so Rav Moshe says you should say the halal with them. The best thing to be, says Rav Moshe, is that you should not make a bracha, because people won't notice if you don't make a bracha. You're not allowed to do things that are noticeably different than the tzibur. But if there's no way of you not making a bracha, if someone's sitting so close to you that they'll notice if you don't make a bracha, says Rav Moshe, as a raya from a Gemara and Pesachim, that you're allowed to make a bracha, even if it's your personal practice not to, you're allowed to make the bracha. That's what Rav Moshe says. Yeah? So you could just say Amen to the Chazan. In fact, I think that's probably a very good idea. The Chazan should make a bracha, everyone should say Amen, which is like what certain communities do in Rosh Chodesh also. That's a nice idea, but again, in a place where everyone is saying the bracha, so Rav Moshe says that you should make the bracha. So if you're a Sephardi and you usually say halal, and you're in a community where they don't say halal, what should you do? So the Chida writes, I give you a source over here, the Chida says that you should say your own halal. Rav Soloveitchik thought that that's not proper. Because the text of the Mechaber is that you say the halal b'tzibur. Then you need a minyan. It's a communal halal. And the Gra connected it to the Hadlokas Neros in Shul, which is a mitzvah on the tzibur. No? Rav Soloveitchik felt that you can't light the Chanukah candles unless they have a minyan present.
A minyan?
In Shul. Right? There's a public element of Chanukah and there's a private element of Chanukah. I just want to mention one last point. Because we're talking about halal as a shira, which I think is worth focusing on. In Rav Velvel's essay, Rav Velvel Soloveitchik's essay about halal, so he points out like this round from Rav Haigon, that the halal at the Seder is spontaneous, and therefore there's no bracha. And he also points out that's the same type of idea as mafsikin. We mentioned that there are two reasons given among Rishonim who do not say halal in shul, how come you don't make a bracha on halach the Seder? One reason is that you interrupt, you're mafsik the halach. Two chapters, then the break, then the rest. The other reason is it's spontaneous, it's halbashas hanes. Says Reb Velvel, it's the same idea. Reb Velvel says, and I think there's actually an elegant type of idea. Reb Velvel says that he thinks, if you look in the Mordechai and other Rishonim, that's really one reason. There's only one reason why you don't make a bracha, which is because it's halal of Shira. And Shira has two dimensions. There's the spontaneous dimension of Shira, and then there's also the hefsek dimension of Shira. Now, I never understood what that meant until I took freshman English Lit in YU with Dr. Rowley. And we discussed theories of poetry. One of the ideas of poetry as opposed to prose is that when I write poetry, I don't express a complete idea. I express enough of an idea that the reader uses his or her own mind to fill in the blanks. We make a mistake. We think of Shira as being song. Shira is not really song. In modern Hebrew, Shira is poetry as opposed to prose. Mm-hmm. Poetry always involves filling in blank space. Mm-hmm. Now, this is true, by the way, with the Shira in Tanakh. The classical Shira in Chumash is Shiras Hayam. Look at the way it's written in the Sefer Torah, or Riach HaGavi Levena. I have blank space. The idea is that Shira means I fill things in. I don't have the whole story, right? I'm part of the process. It's not just that there's a writer and I'm reading what the writer said. I'm part of the process. I'm collaborating to come up with a new idea. That's why there's blank space in Oz Yashir. It seems to me that song also, if you appreciate good music, classical music has pauses in it. The pauses are not just wastes of time. A pause in classical music is there. There's a certain tension that you feel in the pause. When's it going to start again? How's it going to start? You get like minuetting your mind and you know it's going to come back. That three-note rhythm is going to return. I'm not sure when. And then there's a pause. That's part of the music. So I think what Reb Velvel means, maybe Reb Velvel didn't mean this, I don't know if he had like such a poetic soul, but I think what Reb Velvel means is that the Shira, in terms of the spontaneity, that I feel it right now, and the Shira in terms of the blank space, they're together. When I'm really happy and I'm jumping for joy, I don't express full sentences. It's great! That's the idea. That's the idea. That is what the Shira of Halach. So I think the hefsek and the lack of bracha are cut from the same cloth. Now, what this has to do with other forms of halal is worth thinking about. It seems that whenever we say a half halal, by definition, we are skipping stuff and we're supposed to be filling that in our own mind. And that's something, why we skip, which paragraphs we skip, is worth thinking about. But these are just some basic ideas. Again, the idea of Oz Yashir with the blank spaces is something Rav Aaron Soloveitchik used to say. And I think it fits in very nicely with this Reb Velvel about halal. Yeah?
In Broyers, whenever there's a public recitation of halal, they say they pronounce as halal, right? Instead of ha-halal.
It's halal.
Halal, always.
Interesting. They never say ligmar. They always say likro, but they distinguish between halel and ha-halel.
No, they don't distinguish. They just say
halel. Always say halel, even when you say, don't say halel, full halel. In Rosh Chodesh also, likro, es halel.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Interesting. Don't know. Yeah.
Moroccans, they have, what I understand, only Hebrew, where when it's full halel, they say ligmar, and they actually say a bracha and a ha-halel.
Oh. I mean, that's one opinion in Toysund Daf Yudal and Umbrellas.
Moroccans are the ones that I love.
Right? Most Sfaradim, I think, do not say a bracha on half halal. Right? By Chabad, the practice is supposed to be that only the Chazan says a bracha on halal Rosh Chodesh and everyone else says amen. I think the Vilna Gaon would not say any bracha on half halal on Rosh Chodesh. Again, all Kohen Cholim Hochem Hayam, all of the tributaries go, right? All the rivers head to the sea. We all end up in the same place. So I thank you for listening. And I think next week in Mirta Hashem, we should talk about Seder night, maybe some halachos of the Seder. Well, people prefer halachos of the Seder or Vert Lacha on the Haggadah?
What?
Halacha? Halachos. Halachos. So, guys, we can talk about halachos of the Seder. We're trying to make it fun also. Thank you for listening. Yeah.